Today's daf is daf kuf mem. We're holding in the sugya now of the din of nechasim muat. Din of nechasim muatim we defined yesterday as being a case in which we do not allow an actual yerusha to take place. Instead, we set up a trust fund to ensure that the banot will have sufficient to first get their parnasa until the time that they were committed to being taken care of, which is until their maturation. And only then, if there's enough money to support the entire family during that period, then we allow the Yerusha to go through. But if not, then the Yerusha basically is taken away from the Banim and it's just kept in trust. So today we're going to go into a lot of the details, not only of how to define Nechasim Merubin Amuatim, but also what happens when there's other debts and so on that need to be included in the Cheshbon. So we got up to Daf Kuf Mem, and we're on the third line. Pshita, now taking as a starting point, changes in value in the trust fund. So let's say you have Merubin Vinitma'atu. So we're talking about over here, the truth is, before we've set up something to protect the money, because what happened is that at the time of the death of the father was plenty of money to go around, and so therefore the Yerusha took place. And fine, we had that money, that was a machloket rishonim that we saw, whether we have that money still set aside in trust, as the Rashbam learns, for the girls, or whether it means that then there's a Yerusha, and then they're simply supported by the estate, and the father is now, the children are the father, so to speak. And so they continue to get their support. So if it was Merubin, and then it was Nitma'ed afterwards, you can't change anything after that. Kvar zachu behem yorshim. So then at the time of the death, it was Nechasim Merubin, and so we do basically what happened at that point. The banim were yorish. So now, if afterwards they're less, so then whatever is less was proratedly less. That's the way the Rashbam learns. But that's because, again, remember that according to the Rashbam, the trust fund is now permanent. It's not that they can use the trust fund, but if it ends up not being sufficient, they can come along and go after the Yerusha. That is the kiyum of the Tanai of the Ketuvah, that trust fund. According to the other Rishonim, who learn there is no trust fund, that once we have a Yerusha, now they come to go and sue, what it means is then that that's what they'll have to do, but that there won't be a now going back to court, because now they'll say, well, there wasn't enough. So it turns out that there should never have been a Yerusha. That's ridiculous. Once the Yerusha is there, it's there. The circumstances afterwards, that means that they're going to have to find their money somehow. That's a different issue. That's a legal problem. But once it's kvar zachu b'am yorshim, what are we supposed to do now? So, fine, things didn't work out for them. But meanwhile, the Yorshim, the sons, already were zochen their chelek. How about the other way around? How about if it were muatim at the time of death, and then nitrabu? So at this point, nitrabu, let's say the price of support went down. There's a glut of food. Now it costs much less to set aside funds. So what would be the case over there? So my, how do we look at it? Do we look at it as if Bershut Yorshim Kaime, Hilkach Bershut Yorshim Shavuach, Odema Saluki Misalka Yorshim Yoha? How do we look at that trust fund? Do we consider it to be that if Lamaisa has insufficient money to go around, and now all of a sudden there is sufficient money, but there's no longer any Yerusha, because we went according to the time of the actual death. We defined this as a fund instead of as a Yerusha. And that means that now that there's a chaser now, in such a case where a yeter over here, our question is, who gets that yeter? Do we say that, well, it's all very nice to say we set up a trust fund, but obviously, who owns that? Who's the bialim of that money? The real bialim of that money are the banim that were supposed to get the Yerusha, except we're sort of protecting it from them to make sure that the banot will have sufficient. But in this, now that we know that the banot have sufficient plus, so I understand, why exactly should we say that the extra should be given to the banot? Why would it be given to the banot? Isn't it really belong to the banim? So do we say, Bershut Yorshim Kaime Hilkach Bershut Yorshim Shavuach, or do we say, there are no Yorshim? In this case, basically, the very idea of protecting the bonos for their mizonos means not that we didn't get around to giving a Yerusha. There's no Yerusha in this case. In which case, if this is the money that was available now for the bonot, so then the bonot ended up getting more money. What can you do? Tashma, says the Gemara Lechora, there's a simple raya. The Omer of Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Yitomim shekadmu umachru b'nechasim muatim, masha machru machru. It says over here that if Yitomim before there was now taken, they were taken to court, and they sold even in the case of nechasim muatim, the din over there would be is that they still retained their rights to sell. They did a nasty thing, because what they did is they stole the money basically out from under the noses of the girls before the courts were able to set up the trust fund to protect the girls. But nonetheless, they are the Baalim. So if they did it, they did it. There's no way that we can cancel it. So if that's the case, it shows clearly that even though we have Nechasim Muatim, that basically it's still the Yerusha. It's just that we're trying to protect the Yerusha. But if they got around that protection, so they got around it. So in that case, the extra value would, of course, therefore have to accrue to the real owners. The real owners over here are the males, because they were the only ones that were going to be Yorish in the first time. So that means we're not going to be able to be Motzi at all, because now they're Nechasim Mishubadim. And the thing is, you're not Motzi for the Mizonos ever from the Nechasim Mishubadim. And therefore, in a case, even where it's Muatim, obviously it would be Nechasim Merubin, of course, there'd be no question about it. But even in Nechasim Muatim, where you would think, okay, so then that's not theirs, because Chazal basically were Misalik the Yorshim Yoch, and they said that there's no Yerusha. Even though they were Misalik them, but it doesn't mean that it isn't theirs, it just means that it's protected. But we don't protect it B'diavad. If they sold, they sold. Yotiv Rabbi Yirmiyah Kamei, the Rabbi Abu. Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting now in front of Rabbi Abu and had a number of different questions. So he started off simply, and he said like this, Al menato, mahu shetema'it b'nechasim. Remember that the banot are not the only thing that are left here because of the Tanei HaKetuvah. I mean, and if there's an almanah, and the almanah has to be mitparneset, so what is that? How come everybody yesterday was talking about if there's sufficient money for the banim and the banot? I mean, we know that there's going to be a tviyah for the almanah. How come that wasn't included? Or is it? Maybe we just weren't talking about a case where there is an almanah necessarily. But if there were an almanah, we'd have to take that in consideration. Or, so mi amrina, do we say on the one hand, given the itla mizoni? But the bottom line is, we're going to have to be providing for her, so how it's a little bit silly for us to pretend that we have nechasim merubin, when if we would have taken into consideration the almanah, we would have nechasim muat. So we need to protect the banot again. So, do we take it into consideration? Or do we say, audilma kiven de ilo minseva, letla, Hashtanami Letla. Do we say that since if she would have married, so at any point that the almanah marries, which is the moment she goes after her ketuvah, she loses those mizonot, because we view that as already preparation for marriage. So therefore, you are basically not really looking at a tviyah vada'it. It's a possibility. And therefore, we won't take it into consideration at this time. If Lamaisa, it turns out that she will be Tovat, and it turns out that there's not enough money, we just discussed that case, where we had Nechasim Merubin Shenitmatu. So it'll be that case. Whatever the din was, Nechasim Merubin Shenitmatu, that'll be the Almanah. But we don't first define Merubin Memuatim taking into consideration an Almanah.
She doesn't get a trust fund.
Right. Not only that, she isn't Goremet a trust fund. In other words, we don't say since there's insufficient funds to support the three groups, Banim, Banot, and Almanah, therefore we shouldn't allow the Yerusha to go through. We don't say that. And instead we say, no, the Yerusha goes through, and now they're both going to have to attack in order, according to those Rishonim, they're both going to have to attack in order to get their Yerusha.
They would have to go to each individual ben. There's no state klali anymore now.
No, it's like, well, it's like all cases of Yerusha, I mean, but it's divided between them. Yeah, but that's true. Yeah, she'd have to actually get it out for them. So, only against Yorshim, not against Lekuchas, because of Tekanat Ashuk. Remember, our klal is, whenever you buy something, you cannot be expected to handle unspecified liens, only clearly delineated liens. A lien for an almona is X. How's anybody ever going to buy anything? Anybody that buys something from someone who's married has got to be crazy. Someday, somebody's going to come along with a $3 billion claim against this field. Why? Because the guy's wife happened to survive for the next 50 years. So every year she's coming to him. Thanks a lot. So clearly we're not going to allow that kind of thing. It'll destroy the market completely. Fine. So there's no way for her to collect from the Shubadim. But against the Yerusha per se, that's what her initial ketuvah is. Of course there she has a Shubah to collect against the estate. Now, the problem over here is that the way the Gemara puts it is very strange. What do you mean if she gets married she wouldn't have? Neither would the daughters. Remember that it was whatever comes first, either till maturation or till marriage. No, so there's no real difference between the bat and the almanah. How could the issue be whether she'll get married? That's really weird. So the Ri explains in the Tosafot that obviously we don't think that because you have a claim against the estate that you're going to have the same din as a bat. The whole concept over here of protecting a bat is only because in essence a bat is an heiress. Except that the Torah took the Yerusha from the banot and gave it to the banim. Fine. But in the way a person views his responsibility and concerns and interest, he obviously is interested in Yotzei Yerecho to a greater extent than non-Yotzei Yerecho. The entire psychology of Yerusha is different from the psychology of commitments in general. Now, it may even be, as we'll see later, that if it's a question of who's going to get the money, the almana or the daughters, even if it were true that the almana would get the money, that doesn't mean that we're going to cancel the Yerusha for the almana. That's a completely different issue. The only reason that the Chachamim made a takana over here to essentially keep the Yerusha out of sight to the banim is because we view the banim and the banot to be equivalents in terms of the concern of the niftar. But he wants them to be taken care of. That's entirely different than debts that are due. So of course, that's the Gemara is taking for granted that this is a tremendous chidush, this entire issue of setting aside a Yerusha until you can satisfy the needs. It's not until you can satisfy the needs of anybody. It's only until you can satisfy the needs of those who are essentially the heirs of the Niftar. Please. So in this case, all that we're looking at is, but how do we determine how much money is left in the estate? So then there's all different kinds of things. I mean, there's debts that are due, maybe on loans that he took out, there's an almana that needs to be supported. There may be all kinds of things that we need to take into consideration. Indeed, these are the questions that he's raising here. So let's take the simplest thing first. Over there we have an almana. We don't even know if it's ever going to be collected. Maybe she'll be ninsiva. So therefore, we should ignore that as a definite claim against the estate and proceed with the way that we said yesterday, Nechasim Merubim versus Nechasim Muatim. And then if it changes, because there was a suit against the estate, it'll change. So that's our question number one. So maybe since Kivan Dilu Mitzvah Letla, Sashtanami Letla. Now, have another question. This other question now is more complex. And that is, Bat Ishto Ma'osha Tema'et. Here we've got a different type, non-Yerusha, but it's a debt to a daughter, except that it's a stepdaughter. So as we saw in Ketuvot, there's generally an acceptance to provide for a stepdaughter for 5 years. You don't have to, but that's a standard clause that's inserted into an agreement with a second marriage. Now that, in a sense, is even more powerful than a daughter, because the halacha is over there that we don't say that she won't have if she is mincava. She will have. She will continue to be supported. It's irrelevant. She gets married, doesn't get married. It's a 5-year support, period. It's just a grant. Fine. So in that case, we can no longer say, so if she goes ahead and gets married, no, even if she would go ahead and get married, she would still be getting that support. So that's the question. You might be able to say, do we say, says the Gemara, we can't say what we said about the ma'almana, that kiven the mitzvah let la ashdami let la, because it's not true. So bat ishto, ma'oshita ma'ed b'nechasim. Mi'amrina, do we say, well, that's not the same as the almana, because that's havarai. Kiven the chimitzvah nami itla, umema'ata. Since even if she would get married, this would definitely be a debt due to her from the estate. So therefore, she should be mima etet and turn it into the chasim uatim. Odima kiven di ilumeta. Since lamaisa, it's not the equivalent of an absolute debt that's due. It's not like a debt that's due to a Baal Chov. A Baal Chov, even if he dies, the debt is still due. His heirs will come and collect it. But in this case, Bat Ishto, no one can come and collect it. It's a personal grant that is given to that individual if they're living. If they're not living, there's no grant. It's not money that's owed. So there's a tremendous difference between a grant, like a fellowship, and money that's owed. It isn't really owed. It happens to be that if she survives, she's going to be able to collect this money. So then we should look at it as her living is causing a debt to be created. But it isn't something that we should count out of the monies of the Yerusha to call it the Chasim Muatim. So there, perhaps, it wouldn't be Mamayit. Odima kiven dilu meta letla, shavalo mamata. So then it should not be Mamayit because it isn't really a debt. On the other hand, let's say that we would say that. Let's say, imtim zelomar, if you're ready to go along with the idea of kiven dilu meta letla, that since if she would have died, there would not have been any debt, so it's not really an absolute minus in the accounts. It's not simply the question of the statistical possibility here. It's a question of the nature of the debt that's due. If it's not collectible as an absolute amount of money, so then you should say, well, so then that's not really the way to measure an estate. The fact that an estate has commitment to support other people who are not part of the Yorshim is not the same thing as saying we don't have money. So Mamela, we should ignore it. But how about a Baal Chov? I mean, a Baal Chov is an absolute debit. We should take that out of the bottom line. If we take it out of the bottom line, so then we should have Nechasim Muatim. Or do we say, look, lots of things happen in life, including as we just saw. They were Merubin, they were Nitamato, the Nitamato and the Mitrabe. Remember that everything that we are doing is based on extrapolation. We're saying, what do we think it will cost to support this family for the next 10 years? Who knows really what it will cost? So you're extrapolating on the basis of current values. Right now, is this debt going to be paid? Did anybody sue? Was it presented in court? Is there a court order? So we're going to take into consideration this. Right now, it's not here. So that's the final question. It's a Baal Chov. Ma'oshia ma'id b'nechasim. Mi'amrinan, should we say that since it's a definite debit, since even if he dies, he's still going to be able to collect in the form of his heirs, therefore it should be mamayit, because, I mean, any accountant is going to put that up against the bottom line. You're telling me this is the value of the house, but that's not the equity in the house. So we're certainly going to look at the equity. We're not going to look at the value of the house. Oh, Dilma, given the machasre guvaina, lo mamayit. Or it may be that the whole definition of the Chasim Merubim versus the Chasim Muatim, which is all in a sense of fiction, that Chazal created in order to protect the Bonais, that this idea that we're going to create a trust fund and actually prevent a Yerusha from taking place is not really a accountant's business. It's a question of what it is that the Takana was meant to be. Right now, they're living in a $2 million home. And right now, there's X amount of money in the bank. And these are the values. These are the values. And that's how we look at it. Lemaisa changes afterwards. Like we say, everything changes. So maybe it'll turn out there's not enough money. So then we'll handle it as we always would, a case of the Chasim Shinit Ma'atu. But right now, there's no tviyah. As long as there's no court order, or there's no actual hanging over your head to pay, we look at what we have. And therefore, it shouldn't be Mamayit. Now, this was the order that some presented the questions that were raised over here by Rabbi Yirmiyah. Others say that it was raised in the opposite direction, so that he took for granted C and then asked, well, what about B? Instead of saying, let's take for granted that B and then let's talk about C. Well, you'll say, who cares? It's extremely important. Because when you arrange something as an imtim tzilomar, so remember, we have a Kabbalah, that imtim tzilomar always is the last, most reasonable assumption of the Gemara. So, it comes from the Gaonim, it's not the Rambam, but that's how he paskens, it's always, to go according to the last imtim tzilomar. So here, the Gemara wants to establish what direction was it said, which way was the imtim tzilomar. And here you see clearly it was important for us to say what direction it was raised. So you see that the Gemara takes very seriously, this is already a smach to the whole Shitata Gaonim. How do we look at an imtim tzilomar? So there were others that presented it in the opposite direction, which is therefore important for us to know. So this is the way that the other way would go. He started off with the last question. Baal Chov. Would a Baal Chov be memayet b'nechasim in a case? Or do we say, well, no, the Baal Chov, yeah, the Baal Chov will be Mamayit, because it's a Vaday. Okay, how about Bat Ishto, where it's not a Vaday, where it's a grant, Marsh Tamayit Benechasim. Ah, if you're going to tell me, well, look, since even if she gets married, it's going to be a definite Tviyah, okay, what about Amanato? What if she gets married, it's not a definite Tviyah, and then she doesn't get anything. How about that case? Marsh Tamayit Benechasim. So those, in this case, it means we're taking for granted that a Baal Chov will, on the first level, then we take for granted that Bat Ishto will, and the only question that we're left with is whether Amanato will. So it's the exact opposite approach. Now, the other question is, how about if, forget about determining Nechasim Rubim and Nechasim Muatim, that's one question, but how about if Lamaisa, there's enough money to pay for the Mezonot of a Bat, or to pay for the Mezonot of the Almanah? Then what? We've already seen that we have a hierarchy of who we're going to take care of first. Does the Almanah come before the Bat? Not in terms of determining the size, but rather in terms of who we will see is should be more protected or not. So in other words, clearly the Almanah may need more protection, right? Okay, so here we have an old woman who's going to be taking care of her, so perhaps we'll protect her. On the other hand, the Rotzon of the Niftar in terms of his concern for his descendants is greater in terms of his blood descendants. So that's the Shaila. Ezu miyam kodemet. Well, he didn't have any answer for Birmiya. So he says, okay, you know what? Go back home and come tomorrow, and I'll think about it overnight. So I'll sleep on it, or maybe won't sleep on it. So I'm like, Zila idna v'tala machar. Ki'ata, when he came, he said, look, I couldn't answer all your questions. But this last question that you asked about, Amarato Bat, that tifshat miyachata, that one thing I can answer you, because I can bring a riot from here. Do you omra baba, omra baasi? Asu almana etzel abat, kebat etzel achim. They made an almana have the same rights against a daughter as they did a daughter would have against brothers in a case of nechasim muatim. What's the din of a bat etzel achim by nechasim muatim? We said in the Mishnah, habat nizonet veachim yishalu al aptachim. We protect the daughters. So too, af almana etzel abat, ha almana nizonet vabat ishal al aptachim. So we do indeed protect the almana more than we protect the bat, which is has nothing to do with the question of how to define how much money is there. That's a different issue.
The almana gets priority.
Gets priority in the actual collection.
Even the daughter.
Right, but that doesn't mean that when we figure out how much the chasim muatim are, that we take into consideration her tviyah.
What if the almana is 35 and the bat is 2 years old?
Doesn't matter. This is already, how do we determine the Seder of collection? Now, Admon. There is now, yeah, okay, but it's less chavot for the almanah. We assume that the estate is more concerned anyway to care for their sister than for their father's almanah. Right, so this became now, in other words, somebody's going to be taking care of the banot if there's an estate. Who's going to be taking care of the almanah? So Mamela, this is the way that we set up the collection. Now, Admon says a very strange thing, and by the way, it turns out, remarkably, that right after Yesh Nochalim, we have all of the halachas of the difference between the Yerushas HaBat and the Yerushas HaBen. The next parak of Mishamet is in its essence, as we'll see from the beginning, about the value of a bat over a ben. So it starts off with this issue, simple question, of what about protecting the Tnai HaKetuvah that was given to the Baal? Okay, that's a technical issue. We move on to a psychological issue in the next Mishnah, which actually raises the question of, is a daughter more valuable to a man than a son? Directly psychologically. And it's amazing we get to this. We started off with something that's entirely technical. Okay, so continuing on the technicalities, we begin the Mishnah with the question of, the Mishnah ended with Admon's tining something about the nature of his own sex. Because I'm male, does it make sense that I should be mafsid? Now, on the surface, that's ridiculous. What do you mean, because you're male? What gives you any rights because you're male? We're talking about over here mizonot. We're not talking about Yerusha. That's the whole point. We're trying to protect now the rights of the ketubah. And you're saying, because I'm a male, I should be chazer al aptachim. Why not? Whoever said that a male, when it comes to mizonot, is more protected in any circumstances than a female. That you should taina, that there's something about being a male that it seems absurd to put me in the second order. Why not? Maybe because you're a male being in the second order? Where do we ever find that when it comes to mizonot, a male is in some way prior to a female? It's my comment. What in the world is this supposed to mean? What legal concept is involved in because I'm a male, I should be mafsid? Omar Abaya, well, it must be like this. There is, in fact, a meaning to being a zachar and being able to demand parnasa because my time is more valuable. So since I could be supported by the estate and I would then be sitting and learning and that would be very valuable, so Luchora let her go to work and let me learn.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Omar Le Rava, is are you big serious? I mean, because if you're tining that, so then you could say, whatever we have, whenever we're going to come along to splitting up a property, so then somebody who is being Osek the Torah, he'll say, well, you know what? If you're going to protect the Mizenus of the Bonais, Koshiken, you should protect me. I learn in Kailo. So all the money should be set aside in a trust fund to protect me. And then nobody else should get a Yerusha. Allah is Kama Vakama. If I'm tining against the Mizenus of the Bonais, so I should be able to tine against the ones that aren't in Kailo. Right? And I should be able to threaten them. Either you sit and go to Kailo, or else I'll take the entire Yerusha. That's nuts. So let me take Mande Asik Petera, Ludiaris, but the law Asik Petera, Loyaris. Because you can always tie it with Mizonot against the Yerusha, because that's what's happening over here. Elam Arava Ochikomar. The point is that indeed, you were looking at it only in terms of Mizonot. So you were trying to explain why Mizonot should be something that provides an advantage to a zachar. My response to you was, but the mizonot over here are ways of getting around the Yerusha. If you're going to give a schus to the mizonot in terms of getting around the Yerusha, so then I'm asking you, why can't every kolo guy get around the Yerusha from his other brother? So you agreed that that was silly. So now let's bite the bullet and recognize that in the end you're going to have to come down to Yerusha. Because after all, the mizonot is a secondary over here, and yet it's being okay for the Yerusha. Therefore, his taina must relate to the nature of Yerusha of Banim versus Banot directly. You don't have to talk about Mizonot. So, Hachikamah. B'shvil shani zachar v'ra'uy ani lirash alone, b'nechasim merubim. Does it make sense that if sadati b'nechasim mu'atim? That's all that it's saying. Because ultimately, nechasim mu'atim, you're pretending there's two different issues. There's trust fund and there's a Yerusha. But that trust fund eats up my Yerusha. That's the bottom line. And therefore, I'm saying, so when it comes down to it, it's all very nice to say, let's protect the daughters. But to come to the point where you're going to say, let us not only protect the daughters, let us completely disinherit the sons and have them go banging on the doors. I mean, that's already not simply protection. Now, where did that come from? I don't understand. We started off with a problem. The problem being is that since males were given Kadima and Yerusha, we need to do something to protect the females. And now, all of a sudden, out of the desire to protect the females, we simply disinherited the males. I just don't understand how that happened. So that's out much tighter.
But it's not addressed, right?
No, he says, Royan, that seems to indeed make sense. Now, continues the Elika Mishnah, but our president's not moving. Now, the question is, how about, we talked about life as if there's only Zecharim and Akevas. Yeah, it would be a simple world if that were true. But anyone looking at the newspaper knows it ain't so simple, right? So what do you do about a tumtum? Now, you could say a tumtum is merely a safek, because we don't know. His genitals are covered, or her genitals are covered, or perhaps its genitals are covered. I mean, remember, there's always a question over here whether the tumtum is viewed as not part of the children, because as we saw before, just like by a bechor, there's an issue of being a male at the time of Leda, and that's how we relate to it. There might be something more profound. There may be a definition of sex that has to do with having genitals. It's not just a coincidence that the person is male or female. Because it turns out we can discover if you're male or female with your genitals. It's not the discovery, it's the essence of identity. So if that were the case, then a tumtum may be unsexed, in a sense. Neither male nor female. So see, that that's gufa, an indication in the Mishnah in two separate directions that are contradictory. First, the Mishnah says, if there's banim ubanot, and also a tumtum. So now, let's assume just for a moment that it's just a suffix. We don't know what this tumtum is. So bizman shanechasim merubim, so if you have nechasim merubim, say this tumtum is saying, well, I want my chelek. What do you mean you want your chelek?
Hang out with the girls.
But that implies that he would actually be able to get from the Nekevot. The Nekevot can't say to him, well, prove that you're a Nekeva and we'll let you have some of our money. So then that would imply that he's basically in a position of a Safek, so that he's saying, look, either give me the Yerusha or give me the, but yeah, you can't take away everything. I'm one or the other. So over here it seems to be that definitely a Tumtum is either a Zachar and a Nekeva. In a case where the bayit is the chasim muatim, and he wants now to have his piece of the trust fund, so the nekevot say, no, hang out with the boys. They're going to be banging on the doors. You can bang on the doors too. So in that case, they'll be dochot oto etzel hazacharim. Now, if somebody says, and we'll see why these things are put together, there seems to be no relationship between the two. But in actuality, the Mishnah is constructed to set up the tension between a resha and a sefer about what a tumtum is. So if somebody says, well, if my wife gives birth to a son, then I want to be mezakeh him with me'amana. He should be nitel amana. The Gemara is going to ask, what about the problem of Dover Shalom Balor? Let me get be mezakeh. Fine, we'll talk about that separately. So then if Yolda Zachar, Nitoman. So if she has a male, then he gets that money. If he says, im teled ishti nekeva, on the other hand. So then she should be able to get mataim. So for some reason, this guy seems to be happier having daughters than sons. Well, for a son, I'm ready to give 100. If I have a daughter, I'll give 200. Right? So now, if it's a nekeva, she should be able to tell it mataim. So then indeed, yalta nekeva, no tell it mataim. And we don't view it as a problem for some reason of davar shelo ba'olam and so on. How about if he says, well, im zachar mona im nekeva mataim. So if he leaves it now open. And here we get into, of course, the first issue that allows us to deal with the tumtum.
Why is that open?
What?
Why is that open?
Because it's not meant the way you think. It's not meant if she has twins and one is a zocher and one is a nekeva, then the zocher gets this and the nekeva gets that. The Rashbam sheet is if she had twins, nobody would get anything. Yeah, because he's not interested in twins. I mean, he can't even afford twins. So I'm not giving any money if it's twins. God help us. All he's doing is he's making now a tznai, which allows you to leave open the question of the tumtum. Because now I can, okay, so then in other words, the tumtum, according to what we said in the duration of the Mishnah, would get a mana. Because he's at least something, so he would get a mana, right? That's why we're raising this case. Otherwise, you could say, okay, well, we don't know you're a zocher, so you don't get. We don't know you're a nekeva. So therefore, we introduce a clause which, either way you get. Now the question is
how? By saying it this way.
By saying it this way. So now we can deal with the tumtum problem. And that it's exactly what the Mishnah wants to teach us, is that the tumtum doesn't take anything. That's the problem, which of course is a direct contradiction of what you said in the ratio. In the ratio, the Mashmi has said, okay, so you'll get at least like in the Kefa, but over here it says you get nothing. So if she was Yolda, tumtum, ain't an hotel at all. If he says, ko mashite lady shti yitol, okay, whatever my wife has, whatever she has. So then, it's a whatever. So then fine. Then he can be no tell. The im ein sham yoresh elahu, lamaisa, if there's no male, elahu, and there's no female, there's nothing. So then the tumtum is yoresh, yoresh atakol. That's interesting. So even though where there was banim ubanais, they can bounce him between them. If there's nothing else, so then he is a yoresh. Okay, we'll have to see what this exactly how this chiddush is a chiddush and how it fits into what the Mishnah says. So now the Gemara immediately identifies the contradiction. Dochinoto. So in other words, dochinoto means we push him, but he takes from them. Dochinoto doesn't mean he's a ping pong ball. It means that we push him over to the kevot, and now he has a right at least to get mizonot like a nekeva. But then you turn around in the sefer, so shokel kabat, and yet hakatani sefer yada tumtum in and out at all. But make up your mind. Is a tumtum some non-sex, or is a tumtum a suffix zakar, suffix nekeva? Omer Abaye, well, maybe you read the ratio wrong. When it says dochinoto may just mean that he is ping pong. Meaning they can't push him away, and therefore he's not going to be able to collect.
Both could push
Yeah, so dochinoto ve'enlo. Maybe that's what dochinoto means. That since he can't prove what he is, because they'll say, what do you mean? We have a trust fund. You're, as far as we're concerned, you're not a girl, so why should you get from us? So maybe that would be true. V'rav amar, Rav says no. It definitely means dochinoto ve'yeshlo. That's what dochinoto means, because he's good. The Mishnah is saying he's a suffix zacher, suffix nekeva, and he's not some other thing. And so Mimela, he will actually be able to collect. So what about now the Sefer that says he doesn't get anything if he's a tumtum? Sefer atan l'mshemigamulil. Ein achinami. There is, in fact, a mandi omar who holds that a tumtum is neither a zachar and a keva. Because in a case, we know that we have now a Mishnah in which the question is what the din, somebody's trying to be okef the halacha of Bechora on a cow that's going to give birth. So he wants to now create a prior kedusha on the vlad, which is the only, once something is kadosh b'bechor, but it's only kadosh with petarecha. So before there's a petarecha, he wants to give it now a kedusha. So
mother
he,
cow.
Huh?
The
fetus. He wants to prevent, right. He doesn't want it to be a bechor, to be given to the kohen and so. So therefore he goes ahead now and he says, okay, if it's this, if it's a male, I want it to go as a carbonyla. So then it turns out to be now a tumtum or an androgynous. Reb Shimon Gamliel says it's not kodesh as anything. Ain kedusha chala alayhem. Because he says if it's a male and if it's a female. And this is not a male and not a female. So therefore it turns out that there's a shita that is saying that it's a non-sex. So ain achinami. There's two different mandiyamrim in the Mishnah. The reisha of the Mishnah is going aliba the chachamim who hold that it's a suffix. And therefore, as a suffix, it will be nizayin from the least. Now, that we have to see. Why? How exactly does that work? Because if it's the chasim mu'atim, it's a trust fund. Who is he suing for the trust fund? Why can't the banai say, wait a minute, but maybe you're a male. So how do you have a right to be tovea our trust fund? Okay, that we have to discuss tomorrow. But certainly, he's entitled to something up front. Now, we have to decide how that works out when we're going to split the profit. But there is another mandi omer in the sefer of the Mishnah in which the person who's giving specifically to a zocher and a keva is not giving a dime to a tumtum because he's not a zocher and not an akeva. So even if we find out that he has male or female genitalia, it's irrelevant to us. That's like because he has internal genitals as far as we're concerned. That's a different species, so to speak. It's neither a zocher nor an akeva. To be continued when?